The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Baalei Shechot. Amongst the mitzvahs which are mentioned in this week's Parsha, the Parsha is the mitzvah of the Chatzetzreis, the trumpets. In Baalei Shechot, Perek Yud, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, and Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Aseh lecho shtei Chatzetzreis kesef, mikshu ta'aseh isom, that you shall make for yourself two trumpets of silver. And they should be hammered out of one piece. And they should be for calling together the congregation, and also for telling the camps when to journey. Rashi brings, what does it mean, lemikra eido? Kishetirtze ledaber im Sanhedrin v'shara om, when you want to speak to the Sanhedrin, to the elders, and the rest of the nation, v'tikraim le'asef eilecho, and you want to call them to come and gather together to you, tikraim alideh chatzitzreis, you should call them by using the trumpets. Well, lemas, that's what is meant by lemikra eido, to call the congregation together. Well, lemas es amachneis, another purpose that they were used for is for to tell the nation when to journey. B'shas silek masos, when it comes time to break camp, tisku behem l'simon, then you shall blow in them. Nimseis ata'emer, so from here we see al pishleisha hayonesim, that the camp moved on through three symbols. Al pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to move on, that's meant, what is meant by that is that when he moved his cloud, Danani HaKadosh, which hovered over the camp, that was one sign, al pi Moshe, and when Moshe told them to move on, al pi HaChatzetzreis, and through the blasting of the trumpets. Then it states in Pasuk Gimel, v'sokul behein, you shall blow a tekiah in them. A tekiah was the long, simple blast. V'noad ve'elecha kol ha'ido al pesach ha'el meid, and then the entire congregation would come to the Pesach El Ma'ei, to the sanctuary, to the front of the sanctuary. Now that's if you blew both of them. If you blew just one trumpet, then the Noad Reilech HaNesim, Rosh Alfi Yisrael, then the leaders would come forth, the heads of the thousands of Yisraels. So Rashi explains, Sokoben b'shtehen, that when you blow in both of the trumpets, that will be a sign for the congregation to come and assemble. And if you blow just in one, then that will be a sign for the elders to come. Then the Torah says further in Pasuk Vav, Uskatem Trua Shenis. No, excuse me, in Pasuk Hei, Uskatem Trua. Now if you will blow a Trua, Trua is the broken coal. When we blow on our shofaris, we have a tekiah, which is the long, simple blast, and then we have a trua, which is a broken blast. So, uskatem trua, if you will blow the broken blast. Now, since it states uskatem also, so that meant a tekiah, trua, tekiah. If the blast will be a long, simple one, a broken one, and then a long, simple one, this will be a sign for the first camps to break ground, and those were the camps of Yehuda, which were on the east. Uskatem trua shenis, and then you will again blow a tekiah trua tekiah, a long simple blast and a broken blast and a long simple one. And then the next camp would break ground, and that was the camp which was on the south side, trua yiskul masehem. But when you call the congregation together to assemble, then you should only blow the long, simple blast, and not a broken blast. V'nei Aaron HaKohanim Yisku B'chatzetzreis. Who shall blow these trumpets? The V'nei Aaron. Only the Kohanim. V'hoyu lachem l'chukas eilam l'deirei seichem. And this will be a statute forever. So far we've learned that there were two purposes of the Chatzetzreis, of the trumpets. One, to assemble the people or the leaders. And secondly, as a sign when they shall break camp and move on. When it came to assemble the people, then it was just a tekiah, a long, simple blast. If both of trumpets blew the tekiah, that meant that all of the people should come. If one blew the tekiah, that meant that the elders should come. And then, if you blew a tekiah, a teruah and tekiah, this was a sign for the camps to move on. Now the Torah tells us, in Pasuk Tes, "V'chisavu milchomam bi'atzechem," if war, heaven forbid, would come into your land, "alatzara tzeved eschem," or any type of tzora, any type of danger or great troubles would come to you, then again you shall blow the trumpets. Bahare Aisem Bechatzeitzereis. You shall blow a truah. See, again, you shall blow the truah. And Viniskatim Livnei Hashem Elokeichem. And then you will be remembered before Hashem, your God, Vineshatim Eivechem. And He will save you from your enemies, or from all of your problems. So we have now a third purpose that the Chatzetzeres were used for. It was used in case war would come to your land, or Hatzar Chatzetzereskem, any type of troubles. And now in Pasuk Yud, Uv'yim Simchaschem, Uv'mayadeichem, Uv'roshei Chodshechem, on the days of your Simcha, on your Mayadim, your Yom Tovim, and Reish Chodesh, Uskatem Bechatzetzreis, you shall blow a tekiah on the Chatzetzreis, on the trumpets, Aleleisechem V'alzivkei Shalmeichem, on your Korbanos, on the sacrifices, on the Eilis and the Shlomim. V'hoyu lachem Zikoren Lifnei Elokeichem, and it will be for a remembrance before the Lord your God, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So we have, actually then, four times when the Chatzetzeres were used. It was used to assemble the people, or the elders. It was used as a sign to break camp and move on. It was used for a tzora that would come into the land. And then it was used on the days of Simcha, or Reish Chodesh. These were the eilis where the special korbanos were brought, where we blew the tekiahs and the sacrifices. Now Rashi brings, right at the beginning, Asei lecho, you shall make the trumpets, you are taking lefanecha kemelech, vayihi b'shurin melech. What were the purpose of the trumpets? That you shall blow before me like one would blow trumpets before a king. They were the trumpets, silver, made out of silver. And we knew the kings of old times, they had their buglers and their trumpeteers. This perhaps would be the source of it, or maybe it's even before. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is also the Melech. He's the king of Israel. And the Melech Malchei Amlochim, the king of all kings. And therefore, he shall blow the trumpets before him. This would explain, perhaps, the other mitzvahs. To assemble the people, or to break camp, or on the sacrifices that we offer to the Almighty. But what is the meaning of blowing the trumpets when war would come into your land, or alatzara tzoriyeskem, or any type of tzora? The blowing of the trumpets This is, would mean to give honor to the king. So in these other instances, when everyone would assemble, or the leaders would assemble, this would be a great kovod, a great tiferes, a great glory to the king. Or they marched. When they marched in the desert, they marched with their flags and their camps. So this was Vayhi v'shurin melech, this was giving kovod, honor to the king. But what was the purpose of blowing the trumpets when war would come into the land, or there would be some other type of tzor? The Rambam brings at the beginning of Hilchos Tainis, the Rambam writes, Mitzvus asei min ha-teira, it's a positive commandment in the Torah, lizek, to cry out to Hashem, ulehoria bechatzetzreis, and to blow the trumpets, al kol tzora shetove al atzibur, on any great tzora, any great problem that came on the tzibur, on the nation. Shneamar, he brings from our posuk, al atzor hatzeri eschem v'hareyesem v'chatzetzreis. Kleimar, kol dovish yitzalochem. Doesn't only mean when milchoma, when war comes into your land, but since it states afterwards, Valatzara Tzorer, this comes to include all types of tzoros, all types of great problems that come to the nation. Kegoyim Batsures, drought, dever, plague and pestilence, arbe, locusts, v'kayetze behem, and other such cases. Zaku Alehem, it's a positive commandment to go and to cry out to Hashem, v'horiyu, and to blow on the trumpets. Now, what is the reason for this? So the Rambam writes, v'dovezeh midarki ha-tshuvahu, because this brings a person to tshuva, to repentance. Shebizman shetovei tzoro, v'zaku aleho v'yoriyu, because if when a tzoro comes, we will cry to Hashem and we will blow on these trumpets, then yedu hakol shebiglal ma'aseh ha'roim heir alehem, then everyone will realize that it is because of our deeds that this tzora is coming to us. Kakosu avneisechem itu, like it states in the posuk, your aveiros brought this on you. V'zehu sheyigvim lahosir hatzora me'alehem, and by realizing this, that it is our acts that are bringing on the tzora, then we will want to change our acts to remove the tzora. Avelim lo yizaku v'lo yoriu, but if you will not cry out to Hashem and you will not blow the trumpets, ele yemru davezem minigaylam, and we will just say casually that this happens because this is the way of the world. Azegetos, this is the way of the world. These things happen. And we will not link it to our acts at all. This sorrow is just a coincidental happening which has to come from time to time, and it has nothing to do with our humanly acts. This is a way of cruelness. Why? Because then the people will not change their acts. Why should they change their way of life? And this will cause them to cleave to their same evil ways. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to bring more tzoros. And then more tzoros will come. So by not doing this, not only are they blinding their eyes to the cause of the tzoros, but they will cause more tzoros to come upon them. So therefore it's derech akzoris. It's the way of cruelty. Hu shekosu b'Torah, this is what is stated in the Torah, v'alachti mimi b'keri, that you, when I brought plagues upon you, you walked with me b'keri in a casual, coincidental manner, as if that your acts have nothing to do with what is coming upon you. Then I also shall walk with you in a casual, incidental manner. Kleimar, כשאבי עליכם צורק כדי ששתובו, שתשובו, תאמרו שיקרי עשב לכם חמס עשי קרי. That I will bring more צורס upon you. So the Rambam explains to us what is the purpose of the Chatzetz race, the trumpets? When kisavo milchoma be'atzichem, when war will come to your land, or hatzera hatzora atzora hatzera ischem, or any type of tzora, because it is human nature that when some a trouble comes, so we say it's coming because of this reason or that reason or the other reason, but it's not coming because of us. If a war comes, it's coming because of the Russians. Okay? They're the cause of it. There's problems in Angola, it's the Russians. Okay? Problems in Israel, it's the Russians. It's the Palestinians. Okay? This drought, this is a weather cycle. That every so many years there has to be drought. If there are lean years, this has to do with the general cycle of the cycle. If there are locusts, also that. So when a tzora comes upon a nation or a person, the human nature is it's either because of his fault or it's a natural phenomena that has nothing to do with me. The fact is, a person, not only is it necessary, not only is it human nature to think this way because a person doesn't want to blame it upon himself, but humility. What do I have to do with causing great world events? It's humility. A tzora comes, what does it have to do with me? I don't determine what takes place in the world. And this is false. See? This is not true. It is the acts of man which determine what will happen in the world. And this is a great, great principle. What happens in the world is not independent from the acts of people, but totally dependent on the acts of people. And a very great deal dependent on the acts of Jews, of Israel. And in order to bring this home to the nation and to the individual, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, in this pasuk of the Chatzetz race of the trumpets, that if war will come to your land, al hatsar hatzeir eschem, or any type of great problem or misery or trouble that will come to your land, then you shall bring out the trumpets and the kahanim v'hareis and the chatzeitzreis, and the kahanim shall blow the trumpets. What for? To make the people realize that all of this that's coming to your land and to the people are not independent of your acts, but they're entirely dependent on your acts. Your acts are bringing them. And when people realize this, so this means we have to change our acts. We have to do something. So they'll change their acts. And v'niskartem livnei Hashem elokeichem, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that they change, they will be remembered before Him, v'neishatem ha'eveichem, and He will save them from their enemies or any type of tzara that will come upon them. This is how the Rambam explains this mitzvah. Therefore, this is a very, very great principle, both in the life of the nation and in the life of the individual. Now, even though we do not have the Chatzeitz race, the trumpets today, this was only during the time of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, but nevertheless, the principle is still the same. This principle is elucidated for us in a Mishnah in the Masechet Ovos. Mishnah states in Perek Hey, Mishnah Yud Aleph, or in some Mishnahs it's Mishnah Ches. Shiva mini pronies boin le'elam, there are seven types of great troubles which come to the world. Ashiva gufe avera, because of seven groups of averas, of transgressions. This is the principle. There are seven types of great troubles that come to the world. Why? Not because of geographical cycles, and not because of weather cycles, and not because of Gorbachev or other tyrants. Now, because of Shiva Gufi Aveda, because of seven groups of Avedas which are found in the world, and in particular by Klal Yisrael, but in the world in general. And then the Mishnah goes to itemize these. First it states, Miksosan Ma'asrin U Miksosan Eben Ma'asrin. The first group is that during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael you have it today also, but it's a question, well, if it's Min HaTorah or Min Rabbonan. But especially during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, there was a mitzvah Meiser. Meiser meant is that a tenth of your crops, of the produce, you had to give to the Levi. Because the Levi did not have a Nachlo. He was not given land in Eretz Yisrael like the rest of the tribes. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that the rest of the tribes had to give a tenth of their produce to the Levi. Miksosan ma'asron u'miksosan enan ma'asron. If some would give, some people gave ma'asras and some people did not give, that would bring rov shel batzores bo. A famine, because of drought, would come to the world, which would be the type of famine which would cause miksosan re'evin or miksosan svein, which would affect some of the people and some of the people that would not affect. Many of the people would go hungry, but many of the people would still have enough to eat. Rashi brings it would be the type of famine which would a drought which would cause a scarcity of food, and because of the scarcity of food, so the prices would escalate. So only the wealthy could afford, and many of the poor would go without food. This is the first. Gomru shalela asa. What happens if all of the people will not give maishras? Then rav shal mahuma vishalabatseris bo. Then a famine would come, which would be a famine of mahuma. A famine of mahuma. Mahuma means panic. It would cause a panic. It would affect almost everyone, and it would create a panic either in Eretz Yisrael or in the entire world. That's the second. If it went even further, where people would not give challah, now there was another mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, which we keep today also, but then it was Min HaTorah, and that was challah. That whenever you took flour and you mixed it with water and you kneaded the dough and you were going to bake bread, you had to take off a piece, and that was given to the Kohen, because the Kohen also didn't have a nachlo, he did not have an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. If people wouldn't give challah, then the rav shel kliyah bo, then a famine of devastation would come. So that was the third. Then the Mishnah tells us for further, the fourth. Dever bala elam. Dever is a plague, a disease that would go and kill. It would kill people and kill animals. Al misas amuris betera would come for the avedas of misas amuris betera shalei nimsera lebezdin. Death penalties. There were certain death penalties which the Torah gave for various transgressions, But they were not given over to the Beis Din, to these courts, to execute these death penalties. But they were left to heaven. Now, if there are many of these transgressions, so the death penalty could not be executed, then this would be one of the causes of Dever, of this plague. Balpeder Shvish, and also because of the fruits of Shvish. In the seventh year, any fruits, we were not allowed to till the soil at the seventh year. Any fruits that grew by themselves, then they had to be left hefker. They had to become ownerless where anyone could come and take them. If we did not conduct ourselves with the fruits of Shvish accordingly, this also would be a cause of the Dever. The Mishnah goes further. Cherev bala elam, sword. Sword would come to the world. A sword, this would mean most likely wars. Because wars, usually armies would use swords and steel to kill. Al ine adin, if there was a delay of justice by the courts. Al ivus adin, or if there was a distortion of justice. Bal amerim b'teira, shelei kahlocha, and by those who would intentionally pervert the meaning of the Torah. This would cause cherev sword. Then the Mishnah continues, chayero bala elam. Chayero, these are wild beasts, would come to the world, al shvusho v'achil l'ashem, because of oaths which are made in vain and the desecration of Hashem's name. And finally, golus bala elam, exile would come to the world, al evdi avedizora, for idolatry, al gili areis, for acts of incest and adultery, vashvichas domim, for bloodshed, vashmitas oretz, and when the seventh year, the land was supposed to be left fallow if this was not kept. So, the Mishnah tells us that Shiva mine poronies, four types of great sores, would come to the world, are Shiva gufi aveda, in return for four groups of avedas. Now, just repeat that the four types of the poronies, the four types of tzores were, the first was a rav shel batsures, a famine which came because of drought, which affected part of the people. The second was a famine which came because of drought, which would cause panic for all of people. And the third was a rav shel kliya, a famine which was devastating. The fourth was dever, that's plague and pestilence. The fifth was cherev, sword, war. The sixth was the chayero, wild beasts. And the seventh was golus, exile. These were the seven types of tzores and punishments. The seven groups of aveda were, the first one was miksosim masrim and miksosim enam masrim. When some would give them isris and others would not give them isris. This was the tenth of the crops of the produce which they were supposed to give to the Levi. The second was gomlu shalela aser, when no one would give them isris. The third was shalelitalas achala, when they would not give challah. This was the part of the bread, of the dough that they were supposed to give to the Kohen. The fourth was al misas amuris b'teira shalenim salabezdin and perish fish, death penalties, which were not given over to the court to execute, and therefore they went unattended. And perish shvish, if the law was not kept in regards to the fruits of shvish of the seventh year. The fifth was the inui hadin, the delay of justice by the courts, and ivus hadin, or the distortion and perversion of justice by the courts, and those who intentionally distorted the meaning of the Torah. The sixth was for shav and chil Hashem, though the oaths which were taken by the name of Hashem in vain and the desecration of his name. And the seventh was idolatry, acts of immorality, bloodshed, and when the seventh year in Eretz Yisrael was not kept. These are the seven types of averus. So we see this principle, that as far as the sages are concerned, when disaster, heaven forbid, tragedy comes to the world, it's because of averus. It's because of the acts of man, and particularly the acts of Yisrael, who are considered the shomrim, the guardianships, those who are entrusted with the guardianship of the world. And the Mishnah is telling us this in order that we can understand why disaster and tragedy comes upon the world or Klal Yisrael, heaven forbid, and what can be done to change it. Now, we won't have time this evening to go into all of this, but let's go into the first section, and then perhaps at another time we'll be able to go further. Now, the first group is with the Maestros and Halas. Now, the Maral has an elaborate commentary on this in his Sefer HaNovos. And first he tells us that we must realize that when disaster comes to the world, heaven forbid, or tragedy, this is not part of the order of the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not create the world for disaster, but rather he created the world to be perfect, to be in perfect order. When a disaster comes, such as a drought, or war, or pestilence, this is a Yetziya min HaSeder. This is a disorder in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's perfect, it would be like a clockmaker. A master clockmaker makes a clock, and it doesn't keep time. Or it blows up. This is not the handiwork of a master clockmaker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a world, he made a world to work in perfection. And if we see things going wrong in the world, we must realize this is not the way the world was made. We are so used to Tzoros that we feel this is the way life should be. This is the order of the world, that we're to open our newspaper to see what the next Tzoros is. If there's no Tzoros, something is wrong. See? We feel that the newspapers are on holiday. But this is not how the world was made to be. The world was made to be in perfect order, that the rains come in proper season and the winds come in proper season, and nations live in peace, and there is no sickness, and so forth and so on. And when we see these things, this is because there's a disorder in the creation. This is not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's work. So that's the first principle. Second principle is why Shiva, Mishnah says there are seven great disasters that come because of seven groups of averus. Why seven? Now seven is very significant, because the world was given a structure of 7 points. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 7 days, the Shiva Shemei Bereishis. 6 days of Malacha and Shabbos, 6 days of work and Shabbos. So being that he created the world in 7 days, this is a seven-sided structure, this world. And therefore everything must be within this seven-sided structure. And then it's in its proper perspective. Then it's in its proper way. And therefore it needs a shmira, it needs a guardianship from seven sides, in order that it should not be yetzer min haseder, it should not deviate from its proper order. And this is why he gave seven mitzvahs to the entire world. Each mitzvah is a shmira. What is a mitzvah? A mitzvah tells us what to do and what not to do. In other words, a mitzvah sets us straight. Don't do this or do this. Just like you tell a child. You want to keep a child in order. So you tell the child when to get up, when to go to sleep. Make sure you go to sleep on time so you get enough sleep, otherwise you'll get sick. Be careful, don't go near the fire, don't go near the stove. You go outside, put a coat on. These are constant disciplines, constant commands, sivuyim, that you're giving the child to keep him in balance. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give mitzvahs to the world to keep man in balance. Without the mitzvahs, he would start heading in all directions towards the extremes, and he would go out of balance. So in order to keep the world perfect, and man is the apex of the world, he's the merkaz, the heart of the world. So he gave him mitzvahs. And since the structure that he created is a seven-sided structure, he gave man seven mitzvahs. These were the seven mitzvahs that were given to the Bnei Nayach, the children of Nayach. When they keep these seven mitzvahs, everything is in total balance. They do not keep these mitzvahs, then there's a yetziah, there's a misdirection, there's an unbalance. To Klal Yisrael, that he exacted even more perfection, so he gave them more mitzvahs, in order they should be perfect, because they are the heart of the world. He gave them 613 mitzvahs, 365 negative commandments, which correlate with the 365 days of the sun, because the sun holds everything in order, and it has a cycle of 365, and each negative commandment keeps the Jew in perfect order, and 248 positive mitzvahs, which are keneged evori ha'adam, which correlates with every organ of the body, to bring perfection to every organ of the body, balance. But that is speaking either even of higher levels of perfection. But to the world in general, he gave seven. That's why we find that the Mishnah tells us that there are shiva mine pronies, seven types of disasters that come to the world as shiva gufei mitzvahs. If seven mitzvahs are not, if seven averes are committed. Now, the first one mentioned is when some give the maestros and some do not give. Two things we must understand regarding this. The parnosa of man man's livelihood, the food which he receives, which he has to eat, that comes, and that's dependent on the chesed of Hashem and the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mechalkel chayim mechesed, he gives all life what to eat because of his goodness. So the parnosa of man is dependent on the chesed of Hashem. This we all know. But what we are not aware of is the chesed of Hashem, the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is dependent on the chesed of Odom, on the goodness of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Olam chesed yibona, I'm going to build a world of goodness. It was an act of goodness that he created the world. But he said that the world will operate on goodness. And that means, our sages explain, that in accordance to the goodness which is found on the world, that is the goodness I shall bring to the world. Olam chesed yibona. In accordance to the goodness which is found in the world, That is the goodness that I shall bring to the world. The chesed of Bnei Odom, the chesed of people, is ma'orer, the chesed of Elyon, brings out the chesed of the Almighty. And he conducts himself in accordance to the acts of people. If they do chesed, then he'll do chesed. If they will do much chesed, he will do more. If they will do less, he will do less. So therefore, the parnos of man is dependent on the chesed of Hashem. But the chesed of Hashem is dependent on the chesed of people. This is why the Gemara tells us, in Tainis Nefteh Omer Aleph, Aser Ta'aser, states that you shall give maestrus, you shall give your tenth of your produce to the Levim, and it uses a double terminology there, Aser Kedei Shis Asher. The Torah is telling us, give to the Levi in order that you shall become wealthy. Because the more you will give, the more in return you will receive. In accordance to what one does chesed to his fellow man, that's in accordance, the chesed from Hashem will be to him. The Gemara tells us that whatever chesed a person does, that will come back to him. Kodesh Baruch Hu will see that will come back to him. For example, it tells us the Gemara in Seder. It states that Moshe, well, everyone was interested at the time of the going out of Egypt to amass wealth for themselves, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when you go out of Egypt, you will go b'rechush gadol with great wealth. And when they were leaving, they were taking whatever they could. It says not one man went out without at least 10 donkeys laden with the best, to Mitzrayim, the best of Egypt. What was Moshe doing? Moshe was trying to locate where Joseph was buried. This is many years later. Many, many years later. And it wasn't easy to find out where he was buried and to bring his casket up. According to one opinion, they had buried him on the bottom of the Nile River, the Egyptians, because they didn't want the Jews to have him. This is what Moshe was working at. And why? Because he knew that there was a promise made to Yosef that when you go out, you'll take my bones with you and bury me in Eretz Yisrael. So this was a chesed. While everyone was working on amassing fortunes for themselves, Moshe was working in Gemilas Chesed. What was his reward for this? Vayikvor Esei Bagai. The Mishnah tells us in Masechta Seter that when it came time for Moshe to be buried, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself buried him. No one knows where Moshe was buried. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself buried Moshe. What did Moshe do to have a schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bury him? Because of the chesed he did for Yosef to bury him. So this is the principle. The Gemara tells us, whatever chesed a person will do for someone else, that will come back to him. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do for him. And usually when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for you, it has a lot more force than what you can do. That's one principle when it comes to, in regards to Parnosis or Odom. Second principle is the main bracha of this world is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mefanish Kol Chai. The main bracha of this world is the panosa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings. Actually, the Gemara tells us that Geshem, rain, which brings the panosa, the sustenance of man, that key Hashem gives to no one else, not even to an angel. He keeps it. Now there's a medrash in Medrash Rabbah Perek Aleph that states as follows. B'shus gimel dvorim nivra olam. The world was created in the merit of three things. B'shus chala, b'shus maaser, b'shus bikurim. So the merit of the mitzvah of chala. The mitzvah of chala is where you give part of your bread that you're baking to the kohen, part of the dough. B'shus maaser, that's the tenth of your produce that you give to the levy. B'shus bikurim, bikurim are the first fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael that are brought to the kohen. How do we know this? That the world was created with these, because of these three squeezes, these three merits. So the Medrash says, because when Hashem created the world, what was the first word he said? Bereishis. Bereishis bara Elokim, in the beginning. We find the word Bereishis by these three mitzvahs. Chala, it states, Reishis Ariseisechem, the first of your dough. Maaser, it states, Reishis Degoncho, Degoncho Sireish Chavitzorecho, the first of your grains, your wine, and your oil. Bikurim, it states, Mereishis Pri Ha'adoma, from the first of the fruits of your of the earth. So therefore, since the first word that Hashem said when he created the world, Bereishis, in the beginning, and we find that this word Bereishis, in the beginning, is written by Chala, the first of your loaves, and it's written by Maaser, the first of your produce, and it's written by Bikurim, the first fruits. So we say, the Medrash learns that Bereishis b'shvil Bereishis, the world came into creation because of these three mitzvahs. Now there's something strange. Why should the world come into creation? Was the manifestation of Brocha. We've mentioned many times, there's a Medrash that states, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, every letter of the Hebrew alphabet came to Hashem and pleaded his case that he should be used to create the world. The Tov came and said, I have a numerical value of 400, the greatest numerical value, I should be used. And the Shin came, and the Kuf, the Yud, every letter came. Hashem rejected all of the letters, for one reason or another. Finally the Beis came, and the Beis said, use me. Hashem said, why? He said, because Beis means Brocha. When you write the word Brocha, it's written with a Beis. And you need a Brocha when you create a world? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the Beis. Bereishis bara Elokim. And the world was created, the first letter was Beis. Why? Because creation is in essence Brocha. What is creation? Creation states Yesh Miayin, creating something from nothing. Brocha means growth, means expansion. To call a world into being that was not there before, this is the essence of Brocha. If something was not there and now it's here, this is Brocha. If something was a little before and became bigger, this is Brocha. This is what Brocha means. Before the creation of the world, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu was here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Aleph. He said, the Medrash says he saved the Aleph for the Ten Commandments, Onechi Hashem Elokecha, with the Aleph. Because the source of the world is Hashem. The source of all Brocha is Hashem. That's the Aleph. The Aleph is one. But the manifestation of that one, the growth of that, that's Brocha. And that was calling the world into being. And that's why Hashem used the Beis. The one has no numerical value. Simply one. Kodesh Baruch Hu has no numerical value, because the ultimate source of anything is always a yochid, only one. But the Beis is the beginning of all numerical value. That's the first letter that starts to be nisrabe, that starts to grow. So therefore the essence of the creation was Brocha. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to bring Brocha into the world, and that was this wonderful creation. Now this brocha was a chesed. On what merit did he want to bring brocha into the world? On what merit did he want to do chesed to the world? On the merit that there'll be people that will bring brocha into the world. That there will be people that will do chesed. Therefore, on the merit that there will be people in the world that will be gemel chesed, he is going to bring chesed in the world. On the merit that there will be people that will do brocha, he will bring brocha. If there was no one in the world that would do brocha, he would not bring his brocha to the world. And the main brocha to the world is panoso. Therefore, bischus, because of the schus, because there will be mitzvahs of challah. What is challah? Where the Jew gives panosa to the kohen. He gives from his bread to the kohen. And because there will be Jews that will give maaser, they'll give from their produce to the levi. And because there will be mitzvahs bikurim, there will be Bnei Yisrael that will give from their first fruits to the Kahanim, Panosu to the Kahanim. So there will be mitzvahs in the world of giving brocha, of giving Panosu to others, chesed. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also will give brocha to the world. So it's not that he gave brocha to the world and then the others. But because there will be chesed in the world, this is why he does chesed. So now the Medrash tells us very, very well. Bischus, in the schus of these three mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Because if it would be a world without chesed, then he would not bring his chesed to the world. His chesed comes only because of the chesed of Bnei Adam of people. And therefore, it states Bereishis, and it states Bereishis by these three. Now it's interesting to note why dafke these three and why in this order, challah, maaser, and bikurim. Challah, which is the bread, that is the mainstay of man. Like it states, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell the people that you don't, Moshe said you don't only live on physical sustenance, so he said, le'al lechem levado yichyeh adam. Man doesn't live by bread alone, he has to live on the word of Hashem also. But when it comes to the physical sphere, it's bread. The Gemara brings in Bab Metzia and Pezayin Aleph that we find in the Torah and the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, Shehalechem sadeh libi shalodim, that bread maintains and strengthens and establishes a man's heart. By Torah it states by Avraham. Avraham came to the, when the three angels came to Avraham, he said, Ve'ekho pas lechem v'sadu libchem, I will bring bread, eat bread, and strengthen your heart. In the Nevi'im, it states, Sad libcha pas lechem, b'ksukvim, lechem v'vavenesh yisoid. Shlem HaMelech said, V'dover HaMelech. The bread strengthens the heart of man. Bread is the mainstay of man. We're talking about a good bread. See? And we see this all the time. In halacha. In halacha you can eat as much meat as you want, and you can eat as much fruit as you want. You can eat as much fish as you want. And you can drink as much as you want. And you don't have to make birchas hamazon. You don't have to ben shefteretz. A little short brocha you make, and that's all. Eat bread, all of a sudden, you have to make a whole birchas hamazon, a whole benching. Why? Because in the eyes of Chazal, that's the mainstay. That's the ikka, the rest is the tofel. The main sustenance of man is the bread. Everything else that he eats, that's to eat together with bread. And therefore, if you eat bread and other things also, that's a meal. If you eat the other things without the bread, that's a nash. See, that's a te'ima. It's a nash, it's just a little snack, and therefore you don't have to bench. Now, this is the halacha. This is what the halacha is built on. Same thing by sukkah. You can eat tons of meat. And tons of fish, and you don't have to eat in a sukkah. Not only you don't have to eat in the sukkah, if you eat in the sukkah, you won't make a brocha of a sukkah. Because that's not considered a kfius. It's not considered a meal. And that's a te'ima. Okay? But eat a piece of bread, that's a meal. We don't understand this today. Okay? We don't understand it. Maybe we're wiser. Maybe we're not so wise. Today they're finding out that a lot of awful, awful diseases are coming from our habits of eating. But this is what the Chazal tell us. So that's the mainstay. That's Ikur Parnosos HaOdom. And that's the challah. So that comes first. That's the greatest chesed. As you give from your challah to the Kohen, you're giving him life. Then you have a second level, Maisras. Now Maisr was given not from bread, but it was given from the gonchos yireish kvitzorecho. It was given from the grains. Now even though the grains, you can't make bread without grains, but still grains, man doesn't live on grain. See? The grain is taken and baked into bread. It's milled and baked. It doesn't live on grain. So that's already secondary. There's the grain, sireishko, that's wine, and yitzorecho. Yitzorecho is olive oil. Now, the Torah considers these three very, very important. Without it, the world would be lacking. But it's not what man must have. So that's the next level. Maestros. Then there's a third level, Bikurim. But Maestros also, there's some that hold, there's a Machlekes Rishonim, some hold you give Maestros on the fruits also. Then there's a third level. The third level is Bikurim. Bikurim is the first fruits. The first fruits, that was given into the world, not because of Hechrich, that we need it. The first fruit was given to the world for Hanor, for Tainug, for enjoyment. Fruits in general are an enjoyment. We don't eat them so much because that a person will not be able to live without them. But they're eaten for hanor, for enjoyment. And especially the first fruits. A new fruit that you haven't had for an entire year since last season, and its freshness and its sweet, we have to make a shecher yonah when it is brought. So this was given for pleasure of people. So these are three levels. The challah, which is basic, his basic staple, his mainstay. And then the grain and the wine and the oil, which is necessary, but it's not his mainstay. And then the first fruits, which were given, Hashem gave, so people could be misaneg, as a tainug, as an enjoyment. Now this is all the panoso. When a person does that, he does chesed with some, by giving to someone else panoso. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought brocha to the world in panoso, which was the creation. Therefore it states that b'schus, these gimel mitzvahs, these three mitzvahs, Hashem created the world. So now we can understand our Mishnah here. Our Mishnah states, it says, Shiva mine pronius bolel. There are seven types of disasters that come to the world. Al Shiva Gufi Avera. Because of seven groups of Averas. First principle is, the Mishnah is telling us that don't think that disaster and tragedy and all of these awful things come to the world because of other reasons or because of other people. Now, comes to the world because of the acts of people. Even though it might be a natural phenomena, it's because of the acts of people and because of the acts of Klal Yisrael. Secondly, don't think that that disasters, phenomena and whatnot come to the world, this is the way it's supposed to be. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not create his world that there should be tzoras. A tzora is an imbalance in the world. He created a world that's perfect. If we see problems in the world, if we see confusion in the world, if we see tragedy in the world, that's our making, that's not His making. And therefore we must link whatever happens to our acts. And seven major disasters, groups of disasters, because of seven groups of Averas. Why seven? Because the world He created was a seven-sided structure, as we see that He created it in 7 days. And then it starts to illustrate. And the first one is Miksosim Ma'asrim. If some give their 10% to the Levi from their produce, but others do not, this means this is a minimization of the chesed in the world towards the parnosa of your fellow man. If that's the case, then there has to be a minimization in the chesed of Hashem towards the parnosa of people. Therefore, He brings a rov. It brings a rov. It brings a famine. A Kodesh Baruch Hu withdraws, and it brings a famine, of which effects some people starve, some people are satisfied. There'll be a shortage of produce. It'll go sky high. Some will be able to afford it, others not. Gomru shaleila aser, if the world goes further, and they will not give their maestros at all, this brings a further minimization of chesed in the world, so there'll be a further minimization by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, and a rov shel mehuma, v'shel batzeiris bo, and a famine which will create panic throughout the entire communities will come. If it goes further, shalei lipa l'sachalo, if they go further and not only do they withhold their maestros, which is already that secondary level, but they withhold their challah, the mitzvah of challah from the kahanim. Challah is the bread that's the mainstay of people, which he lives on. Then rov shel kli yabo. If that much chesed disappears from the world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will withhold his chesed of panosa, and heaven forbid, it would be a famine of devastation. That's the first group. So this illustrates to us what the mitzvah of Chatzetzeres, which were used on 4 occasions. The other 3 occasions was to give honor to the king. And this one that we're speaking about is v'chisavo melchoma bi'atzechem, that when a war comes into your land, al atzara tzeder eschem, or any type of tzora that will come, you shall blow the chatzetzeres. What does the trumpets have to do with that? Because human nature is that these troubles are linked to other causes, but not us. This is to remind us, to bring to our attention, to bring home that we are the ones who determine world happenings. Even though we might not think so, but we are the ones. The man was created in the Tzelem Elohim, in the image of the Almighty, and he's a giant in the world. And what he does affects the entire world. So therefore, we are the ones that are causing this. And therefore, if we realize this, we will want to stop doing what we're doing that's bringing these tragedies. And we will try to change. Then v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, this will be brought before Hashem, and He will save you from your enemies. So this is the mitzvah of Chatzetzeres, of the trumpets, in this facet. And this is the explanation of the first part of the Mishnah in Ovis. We should be zecher to see the elimination of all tzoras in Klal Yisrael and in the entire world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.